Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, resetting the Timberwolves' stash of draft picks, or I guess maybe stash isn't the right word. What picks the Wolves do have? They may have more picks in their stable than you might expect. What happened to some of their picks? And what do they have available to trade here moving forward? And then I also want to talk a little more, Naz Reid, I want to talk about asset control and if that influences the Wolves' decision on Naz this summer. It's all coming to the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody, and a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. This show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms wherever you like to listen to podcasts. You can find Locked On Wolves. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Locked On Wolves, along with all the other Minnesota Locked On podcasts, are available now. More great local sports coverage 24/7 for free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Of course, NFL minicamp's going on, so if you're a Vikings fan, Locked On Vikings has you covered, as well as Locked On Sports Minnesota, the Ron Johnson Show, all the shows on the channel, so go check that all out. You can also find this show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Speaking of Twitter, I did have a comment from somebody on Twitter related to the Naz Reid situation. I want to get to that later in the show regarding asset control. Is it important for the Wolves, because they have a lack of draft picks moving forward, how important is it that they keep Naz simply to control their assets, which, you know, sounds a little icky when talking about people, but you get it. That's just part of the front office nomenclature. Can't really get away from that in this sense. So we'll get to that later in the show. I do want to start, though, by talking about assets that are not current human beings. They will be, but draft picks. Everybody's just kind of saying, like, the Wolves have no picks. And we kind of say that flippantly, like they can't do anything about it. Like they, you know, Tim Connelly sold all their future picks last year. It's mostly true, but I think it's important to remember that they do. Actually, he's acquired a handful of picks since the Gobert trade. Or I guess just prior to, and then since then as well, second rounders, of course, but also just kind of resetting overall. What does the cash of draft picks look like for the Wolves? Even if that's maybe a little bit cash and stash, or maybe both aggressive words to describe how many picks the Wolves actually have. But, so I want to do that. Just a couple of hat tips here. ProSportsTransactions.com does a really good job of tracking every sort of trade and free agent signing and coach transaction, front office transaction, draft pick transaction in all major sports. So they're great. And that helped me with this. And then also Real GM, which is actually a really good resource as well for the same reason. So I kind of pieced this all together. I just kind of want to give it, like, I'm going to get super in the weeds, but it is kind of interesting to trace the history of some of these picks. So let's start with what the Wolves did trade. Well, actually, no, let's do this. Let's start with what the Wolves have this year in 2023. And this is pretty simple. They only have the number 53 pick, which is a second rounder, of course. The first round pick was straight up traded to Utah. That ended up being the 16th pick. That belongs to Utah Jazz. The Wolves also traded their own second round pick to Memphis. That was part of the Patrick Beverley trade back in summer of 2022. And let's see, they traded... I'm sorry, no. Patrick Beverley was 21. See, I already... This is how confusing this is. I had this all lined out, and I already messed it up. It was actually part of the Walker... It was a draft night trade last year. That's what it was. Man, it's so convoluted. So part of the draft night trade last year, the Wolves traded the rights to Jake LaRavia. They also traded their second-round pick this year to officially acquire Walker Kessler and Ty Washington, who, of course, were then both traded as well. So as part of the draft night... I don't know, like basically the swap meet that happened with all these different picks, because then the Wolves turned out and traded Ty Washington and a couple of additional second round picks, which we'll get to later, to get Wendell Moore to get that first rounder back. So as part of all that trading, Connelly traded his second round pick this year. And then, you know, a few weeks later, the Gobert trade, he traded his first round pick for this year. So in a span of, what was it? Two weeks, really, Connelly traded both of his draft picks for 2023 last summer. He did acquire, as part of these draft night trades, the Knicks second round pick. So he effectively ended up moving back 8 picks of the second round as part of all his trades last summer. So the Wolves do have the Knicks pick at 53. They don't have their own pick at 45 as part of last night's draft night trade that ultimately went to Memphis. And of course, they don't have their first rounder. So that's this year. In 2024, they actually have their own first round pick. And it's easy to forget this because I get it, because the Wolves effectively traded 5 picks in 6 years, if you include Kessler, and then there's the pick swap in there that we'll get to. But they do have 2024, and that's important for a couple of reasons. And no doubt this was considered by Tim Connelly and the Wolves front office when they were negotiating the Rudy Gobert trade. I guess at the time, D'Angelo Russell would have been expiring this summer, but now Mike Conley, his contract expires after next season, assuming the Wolves keep him this year on his fully guaranteed salary. Remember, he's only got like $15 million guaranteed, but his salary is like $23 or something. He's going to be on the team this year. Mike Conley comes off the books next summer, so the Wolves will need a point guard. Also, Karl Anthony Towns' Supermax kicks in next summer, so his salary goes from $36 million this year to $50 million next year. So the picks are having to pick next year is really important because you need to find you need to fill your roster spots on the cheap if Karl Anthony Towns is still on the team. Or if you trade Karl Anthony Towns, you have another pick that you could attach to him as long as you take a pick back, or to backfill a roster spot to replace the point guard spot. Now, of course, this team wants to be contending with Anthony Edwards at its core, and so it's not like they're going to trade off Towns, let Conley go, and just put a bunch of rookies around Anthony Edwards. But in the NBA, it's not quite the same as say like the NFL, where you could afford you can afford to draft some sort of depth and develop it in the first round. The NBA level, especially if you're a contending team, you're trying to hit on your first round pick. You're looking for ideally a guy that can step in and play a rotation role almost immediately. And so that pick is important next year. So don't forget that. The Wolves have their 2024 pick, their own pick in 2024 in the first round. Now, they've traded their second round pick, and ultimately that became part of, the Wolves first traded it way back in November of 2020. That was, what trade was that? See, this is like, it's all over the place here. November of 2020, that was still Gerson Rosas, of course, coming out of the bubble, coming out of the COVID season. It was traded to the Clippers as part of, nope, that's not right. It was traded to the, it was that big Knicks Thunder three-team trade that brought Ricky Rubio to Minnesota, that draft night trade. The Wolves got Rubio and they got the rights to the picks for Leandro Bolmaro and Jaden McDaniels. They traded out 2 future second round picks, the rights to Alexei Pokusevski, the rights to Matthias Lessert and James Johnson. That was that big trade. The headliner was Rubio coming to Minnesota. The Wolves got those, essentially traded back in the first round, which asset management wise, everyone loved that trade. And looking back on it, it was still a strong trade. You traded down from the Pokusevski spot. You got the Bolmaro pick and the McDaniels pick, which obviously turned out to be huge. And you got Rubio. Asset-wise, you gave up Johnson's expiring deal and a pair of second rounders. This is the first of those second rounders in 2023 that the Wolves relinquished in that trade. So the Wolves lose their 2024 second round pick. They ended up getting back a second round pick as part of the D'Angelo Russell trade this year. So they actually have a 2024 second round pick that Rosas had traded away. Tim Connelly reacquired one as part of the D'Lo trade. That it's easy. Again, this is easy to forget. And I'd forgotten they got a pair of second rounders in this until looking this up. But in the D'Angelo Russell trade, the Wolves actually got not just 2, they actually got 3 second rounders. They got second rounders in 24, 25, and 26. Now, the pick in 24 is the Lakers pick, and it's the less favorable of the Grizzlies and Wizards pick. So we don't obviously know what pick it'll be yet. You never know with picks this far in the future, but it'll be the least favorable of the Grizzlies and Wizards picks that the Wolves get. But they got a 24 second rounder, a 25 second rounder, and a 26 second rounder, along with Mike Conley and Nickeil Alexander-Walker just for trading D'Angelo Russell. So that trade was another step in the right direction in terms of recouping future assets for Tim Connelly and acquiring a second rounder in a draft where his predecessor, Gerson Rosas, had traded his second rounder. So the Wolves actually have a first rounder and a second rounder next year. Their own first rounder and the least favorable of Memphis and Washington's second rounder. So they have a full, I will call it a full cache of picks, a regular cache of picks in 2024. All right, I want to look at 25 and beyond here because the Wolves, again, Tim Connelly acquired a couple of additional second rounders and then also what the Wolves actually owe to Utah and I guess others in terms of second round picks here moving forward. So we'll do all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at FanDuel. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs because right now new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Going into the finals, FanDuel is the absolute best place to bet on Heat Nuggets in the NBA finals. I mean, I think it's an intriguing series to bet on. I really like the Nuggets in this series, and not just because they're a one seed and the Heat are the eight seed, because obviously the Heat have beaten a one seed and a two seed along the way, but because I think overall the roster talent's a little bit better, and I still think Jokic is the best player in the series, regardless of how well Butler has played. I think finals MVP bets are a ton of fun too, so do that over at FanDuel. There's plenty of things to love about FanDuel, of course. They do great promotions every day. It's safe and secure. You can also get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action, all the finals action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. A big thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Every day or tomorrow on the show, I'm planning to break down Scoot Henderson as a prospect. Of course, he's likely to go third at lowest fourth in this year's draft. The Wolves, of course, don't have a first rounder, but could Portland be a trade partner? We've talked about that a little on the show, but I want to get more in the weeds on Scoot Henderson as a prospect and whether or not that could, because I mean, if the Wolves are going to make that trade, they're going to have to be pretty enamored with Scoot Henderson. So I want to talk about Scoot. Would he fit Minnesota? What does his profile look like as an NBA draft prospect? We'll do that on Friday. All right, continuing the draft pick conversation, resetting this super quickly. The Wolves only have the number 53 pick this year. They don't have their own second round pick. This is their second rounder that they do possess this year is the one from the Knicks. Next year, they have their own first rounder and they have the second round pick from either Memphis or Washington, whatever's less favorable. In 25, the Wolves do not have their own first rounder. That, of course, was part of the Gobert trade. They do not have their own second rounder. That was also part of the draft night trades in 2022, as confusing as that all is. That was part of Tim Connelly's, one of his first few, I guess, moves on the job when he did all those draft night trades last year. That was, I think, actually part of that same Memphis deal when they were kind of swapping the whole thing. There were a ton of picks going around. The Wolves got a second round pick this year, the one that belongs to the Knicks. They got a 2026 pick, which we'll get to, and they traded out three future second rounders. This is one of the ones that went to the Rockets when they acquired Wendell Moore Jr. So the Wolves traded the rights to Ty Washington, their own 25 second rounder, their own 27 second rounder, to trade into the first round to get Wendell Moore Jr. And this is that's where this comes from. So they do not have their own second rounder next year, but they do have Utah's second rounder because of the D'Lo trade. So Tim Connelly sent out their own second rounder and then he acquired a second rounder. So no first round pick in 25 for the Wolves, but they do have Utah's second round pick because of the D'Lo Mike Conley trade. In 26, that's the year the Timberwolves have the draft pick swap as part of the Gobert trade. It's confusing because ultimately the pick goes to either Utah or Cleveland. And the Wolves do get a pick. So essentially, the Wolves get the least favorable of their own pick, Utah's pick, and Cleveland's pick. It's all very confusing, but that's kind of the where it lands. I mean, there's a ton of different like protections and the whole thing on there with this. But what you need to know, because there's actually a protection because of a Utah-Oklahoma City trade. What you need to know is the Wolves still have a pick in 26, but it's the least favorable of their own pick, Utah's pick, and Cleveland's pick. So, I mean, Cleveland was pretty good this year. Utah was okay. The Wolves were good. So, that pick, it could be, I mean, if these teams are also kind of in that murky middle, then it'll probably be, like a late teens, early 20s pick. All that to say, the Wolves still have a first-round pick in 26. We just don't know whose pick it is. They also traded their own second-round pick in 2026, but they acquired one back in the draft night trades from last year, actually from the Pacers. So the Wolves have, there's actually one of these least favorable things. So it's least favorable from the Pacers, Heat, or Spurs. So the Wolves have a second-rounder next year, or in 26, excuse me. They also have a first-rounder in 26. It's just the least favorable of a number of teams. And so, again, we're all the way through 26 now. there's only one year besides this one that they don't have a first round pick at all through 26, and that's in 25. Going all the way to 27, they traded their first rounder in 27. They also traded their second rounder in 27 as part of the Ty Washington Wendell Moore trade, and they did not reacquire a second round pick in 27. So sitting here right now, the Timberwolves have zero 2027 first round picks. They have both of their picks in 28. Again, the Tim Stepien rule, if you're not familiar with that, basically means the high level, or excuse me, Ted Stepien rule. The high level is that the Wolves, no team can trade consecutive first round picks, right, to save teams from themselves. The swap and the protections are ways around it potentially, but so that's what the Wolves did in 26. But in 28, they have their own pick, and then in 29 was the last year, because you can go out 7 years when you essentially promise picks. The Wolves send their first rounder in 29 to Utah. It's top five protected. And if it is within the top five, the Wolves keep it and they instead trade their second round pick to Utah. But if it's not in the top five, and who knows, because we're talking still 6 years from now, if it's not in the top five, then it conveys to Utah. So the Wolves have their own picks in 24 and 28, and they get a swap in 26. So they're missing their picks this year, 23. They're missing their pick in 25. They're missing their pick entirely in 27. And then in 29, it has that protection on it. So when you look at it this way, it's still a ton of capital that the Wolves traded. There's no way around that. I'm not trying to sweep that under the rug. But it's maybe not as bad when you look at what they do have, like a glass half full type of approach. They do have a second rounder this year. They do have a first rounder and a second rounder next year, including their own first round pick. And by the way, with the Stepien rule, they still cannot trade that pick unless they get back another pick, say in 25. Now they can't trade it at all until after this year's draft. But after this year's draft, say they trade Towns in July and they, for whatever reason, need to attach a pick, they could trade their own 24 pick as long as they take back a pick either in 24 or 25. So if there's like for some reason, if they need to send out a 24 and get back like a 26 and a 28 and a 29 from somebody else or whatever that looks like, that is something that Tim Connolly could do if he needs to. And of course they have now, he's acquired, just as taking over the team, all of the Timberwolves future second round picks, he's acquired. So the one this year from the Knicks, the one next year from Memphis or Washington, two picks in 25 and a pick in 26. These were all acquired. Tim Connolly has acquired five second round picks over the course of his tenure. A couple of those were on draft night last year, so before the Gobert trade. And then he's acquired three in the D'Lo Conley trade. And that was kind of, we didn't talk about that much. I didn't talk about it much on the show. We were so focused on the Conley D'Lo aspect and adding Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and it was midseason. But that's key. I mean, the Wolves got three second round picks back in a D'Lo trade. D'Lo was going to walk this summer, and that capital matters for future deals. Obviously not as much as trading away five first round picks, which he effectively did in the Gobert trade, but it's still an extremely positive development that, frankly, I didn't talk about much of the show, and I don't know that anybody else really talked much about it or noticed it even. So that's kind of a sign of Tim Connolly starting to kind of refill the cupboard in terms of draft picks. All right. I want to close the show here today by talking a little bit about asset management. I'll explain what I mean by that here in a second, related to Naz Reid specifically. And again, it's all related to the draft pick conversation, because these are all assets and they all kind of work together to give the Wolves the ability to make future moves, both free agency, but also especially in trades when it comes to draft picks and also salary cap flexibility. So I want to break that down a little bit more here. We'll do that next. All right, got a question on Twitter from JL Knobloch 11, at JL Knobloch 11 on Twitter. Not really a question, more of a comment. And it made me pause for a second and kind of realize that I didn't really talk about the Nas situation in terms of the Wolves controlling their own assets. So what he said was, love Daily Wolves Talk. Thank you. The Timberwolves have to sign Naz just for asset control. They screwed themselves with Rudy trade, and it's even worse with the new CBA. They can't let viable assets walk with the lack of first-round capital. This is a really good point. And basically, if you're not like an NBA cap or draft nerd, what JL Knobloch 11 is saying is that Naz Reid, if the Wolves re-sign Naz Reid, he becomes an asset. It'd be hard for the Wolves to truly overpay Naz Reid. Now, I've said on the show I wouldn't give him 14 or 15 million a year because of the Wolves' lack of cap flexibility and also because of the role Naz would have on the team. I think somebody can give him that money and it wouldn't necessarily be a crazy overpay because Naz Reid's a really good player. I worry about the Wolves strapping themselves more than they already have from a cap perspective. And JL is saying the Wolves don't have first-round picks to trade, so by keeping Naz at a reasonable deal, he then also becomes an asset you could trade in the future, which is 100% true, and it's a fair point. I think my counter to that, I don't know that it's really a counter because I don't necessarily disagree, but something to consider is that playing out JL's point a little bit further, if the Wolves don't sign Naz and they keep that money to re-sign Jaden McDaniels and sign a couple other, you know, small quote unquote, or players to smaller contracts, right? Like an Alexander Walker or, you know, the equivalent of, or using their mid-level exception or whatever to sign somebody that's above a vet minimum, but not a significant, a big deal that's taking up a high percentage of the cap. Those guys likely aren't as valuable of trade assets on their own as Naz Reid would be. Naz at, call it $13 million, is going to be tradable a year from now. Whereas if you sign, insert random, you know, middle of the road rotation guy, like a Torian Prince type, for $6-8 million, they're going to have less trade value. And then you've got to combine additional players and roster, you know, then roster spots come into play in a larger trade. That's a fair point. However, my concern would be making a decision now that's going to potentially hurt you in 12 months in the name of asset management, but also not like concrete asset management, right? Like picks, we know what the pick value is going to be. Like the idea behind pick values changes year over year. Certainly, I think we treat first round picks very differently now than we did, you know, 10 years ago and 10 years before that. Like it changes. It went from like all first round picks are worth so much to screw late first round picks. I'd rather have early second round picks when Houston and some other teams struck gold in the second round. And then it turned into now we're almost back to where first round picks are traded back and forth like crazy, but it also at the same time seems like teams value them. They just are willing to trade them back and forth as long as they're getting some back. Like it's just the way that first round picks are seen has changed, but it doesn't change that them as an asset, it's a stable asset, right? Like you know what it is. We don't know what Naz will look like in 12 months. We don't, I mean, the Wolves could re-sign Naz Reid and his role could only be 19 minutes a game this year if Rudy and Kat stay healthy and Naz could struggle. He had a career year last year. Maybe he struggles on the glass. He was a great rebounder or very good rebounder last year after being pretty terrible his first 3 years. What if he reverts back? What if he has to play the four because of the Wolves roster construction and teams can point to that and say like, hey, we don't want Naz Reid. He, you know, played well to get his contract and now we don't want him at $13 million a year. We don't know what happens. He could, knock on wood, this won't happen. The Wolves could re-sign him. He could, you know, have a significant injury. That's not a broken wrist, but something worse. And then you lose that value. So, there's more risk there. And when you factor in the roster balance, that's when it becomes that much more concerning to me. Because the Wolves already have Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, who are both best cast as centers. And yes, Towns is a very good power forward. Naz Reid is not a very good power forward. In terms of, you know, based on what we know from relatively limited returns on that, Naz is best cast as a five in a smaller lineup. So now you have three guys who are best played at center. And you still have to somehow recoup Naz's value. And Naz may sign the deal because he likes Minnesota and he'd rather come to the Wolves for $13 million than go to, like, I don't know, random middle-of-the-road team. I don't know. I'm blanking on just naming a random team. I don't know. Or a bad team, like a Charlotte or something, for $14 million. He may say, I'll take a million less to go to Minnesota. If that's what the options are, he may come back because he's still getting paid, but the opportunity may not be there. And so there's a lot of different, obviously, variables here that we talked about some of them on the show already. But I think it's a dangerous game when you're chasing assets simply because, like, oh, he's ours. And, you know, we drafted him as a second rounder. Yeah, it was the last regime. But, like, Rosas drafted him as a second rounder. Or, excuse me, Naz was an undrafted free agent. Jalen Noel was a second rounder. They both signed similar deals after the draft. Naz was a diamond in the rough, a great find by the previous regime. You want to reward those guys. You want to do the whole homegrown talent thing. It doesn't happen a ton in the NBA. So yeah, that's great. And the Wolves have kind of, they've gone all in. They pushed their chips in terms of playing big. But you don't want to have a domino effect that further hamstrings you from a cap perspective. Because as we talked about, actually, this was actually on Wednesday's show yesterday. I talked about if the Wolves re-sign Nas, does that then suggest a Towns trade is coming next offseason simply because of the spike to $50 million on the Supermax for Cat's salary next year, the pending extensions for Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. You still got to figure out point guard, because remember, this isn't factoring in Mike Conley is gone after this year. What do you do at point guard with Cat at $50 million and Ant at 40 or whatever he's going to get, and Gobert at like 42 or 44 or whatever he is, and McDaniels at $24 million or whatever he's going to make on his extension? How do you figure out the point guard spot? And then you factor in Nas at 13, 14 million and quick math, what is that? 105, 110 million in centers? I mean, is that feasible for a cap that'll be what? Like 160, 170 million? I don't have it in front of me, but I mean, it's feasible in the sense that they could do it. Is it smart? No, it's not. So the asset management argument or asset control argument is fair, because from a value perspective, Nas then at least has trade value theoretically at the deadline next summer, the following summer, the deadline in between, the deadline in 25 or whatever. But there's still risk there. And I would rather the Wolves focus on backfilling other roles, try to come up with a plan for point guard the year after next, trying to find some real legitimate wing depth, find a big that can rebound and play defense maybe better than Naz Reid at a lower cost, and worry about putting those dollars towards Jaden McDaniels. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, I've said before, like, if all things are equal, I'd love to have him back, but I worry about how much he might get in free agency when he's only marginally better than, say, Josh Okogie, who signed for a minimum deal last offseason, although I think Okogie will get more than that this year. So, like, it's a domino effect, right? We're going to have all offseason to talk about this, and as soon as the Wolves start making these moves, and that starts with the draft and what happens on draft night, we'll get an inkling for what those next moves are going to be, right? The domino effect will become very apparent. And that's going to be a ton of fun to kind of dissect. This is Tim Connelly's first full offseason, if we include the pre-draft process and all of, I guess he was hired mid-late May, so he only missed a couple of weeks of last year's offseason. But now that he's had a full season with the team, is he going to just, like, what does this look like? Is he still going to be hell-bent on acquiring future draft picks to try and make up for what he gave away last summer? Is it going to be a second consecutive summer with a splash with a Cat trade? Is it going to be moves on the fringes? The Wolves could, as we talked about, I think it was Monday's show, the John Hollinger article on The Athletic. The Wolves are one of the league's most quote-unquote stuck teams because they don't have that many flexible assets. It's basically Towns. If you keep Torian Prince, you could trade Prince. And, like, there just aren't that many tradable assets on the Wolves roster, and they don't have much cap space. But yet they could pull the ultimate move and trade Karl-Anthony Towns, and then there's a huge domino effect there. So it's all very fascinating, and we have all offseason to talk about it. I do, though, on Friday, that's all we have today. On Friday, I do want to talk Scoot Henderson, because I think we need the information about whether or not Scoot Henderson is a viable fit for Minnesota, and if that could encourage Tim Connelly and the Wolves to make potentially a Karl-Anthony Towns trade to get the number three pick from Portland. So I want to break that down. Is that something that, like, would I do it? Is it something I'm interested in? Should the Wolves want to do it? We'll talk about that on Friday's show. A big thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on Locked On Sports Minnesota. That's the app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, and also at my account, which is at BBeacon. That's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, Locked On Wolves is available every single day. We'll be back again tomorrow on Friday, and the next week, every day, Monday through Friday. Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Reminder that the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.